الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the things that the concepts that you hear about, if you are into computers or electronics or even biology, in fact, this concept exists across many fields, is the idea of interfacing. And a few weeks back, I was at work, actually last week, and there was a big discussion among the people at work about two products being able to interface one another. So they were talking about, you know, somebody had some component from some company for their computer, and they wanted to be able to plug that into another computer. And so this whole discussion arose about whether these two products were compatible, whether they could interface with one another. So could the hard drive from company A interface with the computer from company B? Then on a separate occasion, I heard two other people talking, and they were talking about how they can mate two plants, combine two species of plants in order to create a third species. And so they started talking about interfacing. They said, well, these two species of plants, they can join together, and you can mix their genomes, and you can produce this third type of plant, which will have these characteristics, and if you try it with two other plants, that doesn't work. So they went into a very, very extensive discussion about interfacing. And throughout both of these discussions, there was the same idea popped up in my mind on each occasion. And that is that these people are talking about the same field. Meaning if you're talking about computers, it's electronics. It's physical things and they're trying to interface these two things. They're both created by human beings. They're both designed by man. And yet, they are not able to interface two things that are within the same realm and have so many similarities between them. For example, the hard drives made out of silicon chips and whatever they used to make it, and so is the computer. Yet, they're talking about whether these two similar things can interface, yet, on a daily basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to interface with Him despite the fact that we are so different than Allah. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in every single characteristic. Think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the all-seeing. He sees everything. Everything that goes on in this planet, in the universe, from the beginning of time till the end of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that. He's all-seeing. And you look at our ability to see. Our ability to see is such that if we turn to the left, we can't see to the right. And if we look behind us, we can't see what's going on in front of us. How limited is our ability to see compared to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees? Similarly, our hearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears the call of every single creation and every single noise away from creation throughout the entire universe from the beginning of time till the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing, right? This is what we say, He's sami'. Sami', you know this word in Arabic, sami'? Sami' means that He not only hears, but His hearing is not dependent upon speech or upon noise. For example, if I say you're a listener, in the Arabic language there's a form. This is a special form. If I say, look, Zayd has the ability to listen. Zayd's ability to listen is dependent on what? Sound. He's only going to be able to listen if there is some other sound being produced. But in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His hearing is independent even of sound. Whether there's sound or there's no sound, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still hears. When the entire world and the universe is completely annihilated, and that moment comes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone stands throughout the entire universe, He will still be a samir. He will be the one who hears. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hearing is complete, perfect, absolute, non-dependent upon anything. Yet our hearing is such that if one person talks, and another person comes, then we say, can you wait one second? I can't concentrate on two things at one time. I can't hear you, and I can't hear him at the same time. That's how limited our hearing is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's every characteristic is at the pinnacle of perfection. And every one of our characteristics is so far beneath Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can't begin to comprehend this idea. Now, if people are sitting and talking about interfacing two pieces of metal which they themselves have created, and they're saying that these two pieces of metal will not be able to interface, then imagine how great it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to interface with Him. We interface with Allah in the salah. We say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and we know from hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states back in response to your independent statement, verily my servant has praised me. And every ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha is responded to in that manner. So we interface with Allah despite the fact that He and us are completely opposite. Nothing, no characteristic of Allah is found within human beings. He's so above and beyond anything of creation. So this is a huge, huge blessing upon us that we are able to interact with Allah, that we can even take the name of Allah, that we read the book of Allah, that we can think about Allah and even begin to understand that there is an Allah. Even the fact that we can discuss Allah, and I can discuss Allah, and you can listen to the name Allah, and something even comes in your mind, that's amazing. That's amazing that you can even envision that, that concept that an Allah exists. And that's actually through the mercy of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us a final messenger who told us about Him, and beyond that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows us to interact with Him on so many different levels. That's subhanAllah, very, very unique. And it comes into reality when you begin to think about the other things in the world and you see their compatibility. Now somebody says, you know, somebody comes up to a brother who's not married and they say, you know, I suggest that, how about this sister? They say, well, we're not compatible. Why? Because there's some differences that exist between us. So those differences are so minute. Yet you're saying you're not compatible with this person. That difference might be very, very small. You still eat, you still breathe, you still sleep, you still rest, you were still born from a mother, each of you. Yet, because of that small difference, you say, I can't interface with that person because of A, B, or C difference. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely different than us. He's so different than us, yet He still allows us to interface with Him. That's, subhanAllah, that's incredible. Now look at this hand. What's so unique about this is despite the fact that we are able to interface with Allah, the unique thing is that we turn away from Allah so many times in our life. If you really think about Allah, and you really just sit and reflect on Allah for a moment, the only thing that will come to your mind is that this is the most spectacular thing in the entire universe. Allah is the most spectacular being in the entire universe. Allah should attract our attention in such a way that nothing else does, because He's so different above and beyond, and He's so unique compared to anything else in the world. So if we are interacting with other things, and we are excited by those, then imagine what our excitement should be by when we think about Allah. Now you think about, you see somebody, they're a great musician, or they're a great singer, or they have great strength, or they have great skill in being able to throw a football, or they have some characteristic which is at its peak, everybody is interested in finding out about them. Everybody wants to know about them, everybody wants to watch them, everybody turns their TV on to interact with them, to interface with them. Why? Because just that one characteristic. The person can be the worst person, he can be a murderer. Some of these athletes, they have the worst characteristics. You would never want to be like them. But because of the way they can tackle, or because of the way they can throw a football, everybody wants to watch them on Sunday afternoon. Everybody wants to know what's going on with them. Why? Because of this one characteristic that's unique about them. So when Allah has so many characteristics that are so above and beyond anything that we can even comprehend, then don't you think our attention should be drawn to Him so many times more? It's not that Allah isn't unique, and it's not that we haven't understood, it's that we haven't reflected on what Allah is all about. This is what the Quran, this is the story of the Quran, how many times over and over again? Huwa as-Sami'u al-Alim, Huwa al-Basir. Over and over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes His characteristics. Why? So that you can begin to appreciate and realize that He's so far and above, and His characteristics are so spectacular, that there's nothing that's left for you except interacting with Him in that way. This is why when the Sahaba came into the fold of Islam, they couldn't put themselves off the Musalla. They were so attracted to the Musalla after they would accept the deen. They were so deep in their recitation of the Quran. They were so deep in their reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you couldn't do anything to them to distract them from that. Because they understood how spectacular, how amazing, how awesome Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly was. And it attracted their attention in such a way. So in the same way, we should begin to think about and read about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is. That's what the Qur'an is. The Qur'an is the words of Allah. When you begin to interact with that, you enter another realm. It's a whole different world. And we should begin to think about those things that are attract our attention currently and wonder, understand why they do. It's actually a disease. It's actually a sickness. If somebody tells you, if somebody looks at, goes out into the parking lot and points to the worst car in the whole parking lot and says, check this out, everybody. Calls all the masjid, check out this car. This car is incredible. And there's 50 Mercedes lined up in the parking lot. You say the guy's an idiot. Why is he checking out this old 1972 car that doesn't even run? And there's all these awesome cars sitting in the parking lot. You'll say something's wrong with you. So nothing's wrong with the car. Something's wrong with you. Your ability to comprehend what's good and what's bad is screwed up. In the same way, when we get caught up in these people and their abilities, the abilities of human beings, it's not that there's something deficient in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a'udhu billah. The deficiency is in us. We're caught up in something that's totally created and fabricated. It's just all a board game. We're so caught up in these things that have no reality when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present before us and He is the reality of all of reality. So we should really, really begin to understand that within us there is a sickness. We've lost our ability to discern from what is truth and what is falsehood. This is why the Prophet would say, would pray to Allah, Ya Allah, show me the ability to discern between truth and falsehood. And what's the truth? The ultimate truth is Allah. And what's falsehood? Everything else that exists in the universe. Everything else is batil. Everything else will perish, and Allah is the only one that's permanent. And this is why we have so much difficulty in our deen. Now, if the deen becomes a bunch of laws, I'm going to follow A, B, and C because my parents made me do it, then what taste is that going to be there in the deen for you? Eventually you get bored of it, you get sick of it, forget the masjid, I don't need to do that, there's so many other things I can do with my time. But when you begin to interact with Allah, when you begin to reflect on Allah, when you begin to sacrifice and get closer to Allah, the board game, the whole game changes. The whole world changes for you. Now you're not coming to the masjid because you have to. You're coming to the masjid because this is the house of Allah. This is the place where you will make 27 times more progress with each prayer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drops His infinite mercy. There's a big difference between people coming to the masjid because somebody forced them to, and somebody else coming because they're in love with Allah. They're in love with Allah. Love of Allah. This is a concept that exists within our being. They're so in love with Allah that they can't think about anything else. They can't reflect on anything else. You tell them something else, they just keep thinking about Allah all day. This is how the Sahaba were. Anytime you said anything to them, they just thought about Allah. When they did something, they said, oh, this is because Allah permitted us to do it. When they weren't able to do something, they said, because Allah did not permit us to do so. Read the hadith. Over and over and over again, they say, and I prayed as much as Allah allowed me to pray. And I said what Allah allowed me to say. And I did what Allah allowed me to do. Meaning, every single thing in their life was focused and centered upon what Allah permitted them. I mean, everything was through Allah. Everything was seen through the lens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very, very, very different world outlook than the way we look at the world. So we should now begin to realize that within us, there is this inability to discern between what is reality and what is not. And so now we have to begin to work at fixing that disease. There are certain diseases, and I've seen these types of patients, you give them something sweet and it tastes sour. And you give them something sour and it tastes sweet. They can't discern. Their ability to sense has been, it's off its mark. In the same way, we've lost our mark. We're so caught up in cars and looking at these things that walk across the street and TV and sports, and all these things have no base in reality. They're all fake, created in the sense that the whole world is created and Allah is permanent. So we have to begin to appreciate that this disease exists within us and begin to work to change it. And this is not present within us, it's present within the whole ummah. It shocks me. Once you begin to understand Allah, there's no way you can talk about anything except for Allah. There's no way you would be able to do anything except that the name of Allah comes to your tongue. Even within our own deen, you see people, when they talk about Islam, they talk about political activism, this activism, that activism, something academic. They want to talk about the history of Islam. They want to talk about A, B, and C. What about Allah? It's so rare that somebody talks about Allah. It's so rare. But that's all the Sahaba talked about. That's all they thought about. That's all they reflected upon. This is exactly what our focus should be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we follow the sunnah, it's only to get closer to Allah. Not because the sunnah is some independent thing. But because it's the example of the man who was close, who became closest to Allah. And in essence, reflects that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires from the most perfect of all of creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, we have to begin to get serious about this here. And we think that, you know, if we get active and we form A, B, or C committee, or we do A, B, or C deed, then we've now established something of the deen in our lives. The deen is about Allah. It's not about anything else. When Allah comes into your life, such that everything you do is for the sake of Allah, such that you constantly reflect upon Allah, such that when you pray, you know that you're praying to Allah, that's called Islam. Now yes, subsequently, once you get to that state, you'll do things. You'll benefit the community. You'll establish seminars. You'll do other things that will benefit other people and bring them to Allah. But that's the central point. Allah. Allah is the central point. Nothing else. Allah. So rarely do we hear this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the center point and is the goal of each Muslim. That you develop a relationship with Allah, that you please Allah, that you do those acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted, and that you avoid and refrain from those acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Look at this hand. It's so small. Sometimes I just look at my hand, and it's so small, and I just imagine the only thing that this hand is so small, yet the errors that it commits are so great. In the sense that it disobeys Allah. The hand is so small, this hand is so small, it can't do anything. If somebody crushes it, it'll be in pain. If somebody breaks your finger, you won't be able to move it properly. It's so weak, it's so small. And the only thing that it does great is that it transgresses against Allah. That's the only great thing that it does. And on the other hand, the only great thing you can make it do is you could submit it to Allah. That's the only two ways that you have. Otherwise, this hand is worthless in and of itself. So either you continue to use it to disobey Allah, completely being heedless of Allah, or you take this hand and you use it in order to be obedient to Allah, or you use it as a means of obeying Allah. That's the only thing that we have, the only choice that we have. So we have to be very, very serious about our deen, and be very, very honest with ourselves, and make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the goal. That's what it's about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to begin to submit to Him, to get nearer to Him, and to bring others onto that path. Inshallah, the way, for those of you who haven't been here before, most of you have, what we usually do on this day is we reserve it for dhikr. There's just a short talk in the beginning in order to help people sort of refocus themselves after 1 week away from this gathering. But really the purpose here is to praise Allah. That's really why we gathered here. And, you know, initially I used to teach Arabic at this gathering, I used to teach Hadith at this gathering. Really what it boils down to is this is a chance to sit down for each individual and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to read about how great of an act it is, just go through the hadith. Over and over and over again, the hadith described the benefits of sitting down and remembering Allah. And the unfortunate reality is that if we're away or alone, shaitan is very, very dominant, and he keeps us away from this type of remembrance. But when we get together, when we come in the house of Allah, we have the opportunity once in a while, once a week, sometimes less often, to actually tune ourselves up. So what happens is there are approximately 10 lines, and they're all done silently. There, 5 of them are ayat from the Holy Quran. Some of them are ayat from the Holy Quran. 1 or 2 of the lines are famous adhkar from hadith, and then in between is sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's something that we've been encouraged to do, not only in the Holy Quran, but in the hadith as well. So I'll recite the line. Recite the line after me. If you don't know the line, then recite anything that you can understand from the line. So for example, one of the lines is Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. If you can't pick up on that line after my saying it once, just recite Subhanallah. Or just recite Allahu Akbar. Anything. The point is you have to praise Allah. So I'm using different ayat from the Quran and the Hadith because this is what my teachers encouraged me to do and encouraged me to teach others. And these are very, very famous lines from both the Quran and the Hadith, and there's a special benefit to them. So if you can pick up on the line, fine. If you can't pick up on the line, then recite whatever you know. In between each line, you'll hear the word salawat. Salawat means that you send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can just say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you want. You can say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam if you want. You can recite the durood that you normally recite in salah. Anyone that you know. There's nothing specific here. The point is to send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, think about what you're doing. Don't worry about counting. See, the other thing is I don't tell you, okay, we're all going to do it 10 times. Because I don't want you to think about counting. I'm not interested in how many numbers you do. I'm interested in you focusing on what you're saying. Focusing on who you're saying this about. Who are we talking about? Who are we referring to? And reflecting on the greatness of Allah. And so that doesn't require any set number. That just requires that you sit down, clear your mind, and focus on these lines. And inshallah, what I'll do from now on is every time we meet, I'll translate one of those lines so that you have a better idea of what the line means. So for example, the first line today that will be after the salawat is Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim. So Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Glory be to Allah and praise be to Him. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Basically, glory be to Allah and with His praise. Subhanallahi al-Azim. Glory be to Allah, the great, the magnificent. So even that much is enough for you to reflect on for the rest of your life. If you just started to reflect on just that much about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's sufficient. And there's a very, very famous hadith about this particular line of dhikr that the Prophet ﷺ said that there are two words that are very, very light on the tongue, but they're very, very heavy on the scale, meaning the scale on the Day of Judgment. And those words are subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi.